We're glad you're here, and we're grateful for just an opportunity to share with you on this Resurrection Sunday. And so we're going to go to John chapter 20. We're going to begin reading at verse 11. There is no PowerPoint today, so we encourage you. You can open up your, get on your phones, don't play games, go to the Bible app, all right, pull up the scripture. If you don't have one of those apps, go to Google, it'll pull it up also. And so we encourage you to do that. Follow in the Word of God here today. And if not, you have your Bibles, again, John chapter 20. I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. And it said, "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head of the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.'" Notice that she's weeping. She wept. And we're going to see that she keeps on weeping. Verse 14. "Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her." Father, we just hear your word this morning. I pray, Father, that you promised us that as it's sent out, Lord, it will accomplish what you have sent it out to do. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you just quicken it to our ears today, to our hearts. I pray, Father, if some of this message registers in our heart, Lord, that we will respond to the Holy Spirit here this morning. And Lord, we always want to say yes to you as you move in our lives and you ask us to do things. And so, Lord, sometimes we need to lay things up. Sometimes we need to pick things up. And so, Father, we're just asking today that you would just minister as only you can minister. And we pray in your name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, how many know that your mind works in mysterious ways? It's kind of crazy. And as we were kind of talking about the theme of this service, Graves to Gardens, my mind kind of went way back. And as I was thinking about this, the song by Lynn Anderson came into my mind, "I Never Promised You a Rose Garden." How many know that ages me a little bit? Amen? We're talking about the 70s, all right? And so in that song, she said, "Life is not always smooth sailing." And she says, "It's not always sunshine and roses." And it talks about a little rain must fall. How many know that Jesus never promised us a rose garden? Somehow we've kind of placed ourselves in this position that when we accept Jesus, all life gets 100% better. How many know it does? But how many know we still have problems? So what he did promise was that he would always be with us. That's the promise that Jesus gives us, that no matter what comes our way, rain falls, guess what? He is with us. And so, I don't know, we were supposed to sing the song, weren't we, Graves into Gardens? Did we? Okay. I wasn't here. I was changing in my Superman suit. All right. And so you sang that song here this morning by Brandon Lake. And, of course, my mind went, as I wrote this song down, I began to think of other things. It says, "I searched the world." And then my mind went back in time again. You know where I'm going? "I searched the world over and thought I found true love. She found another and she was gone." All right. That's not the song we're talking about here today. Okay? I'm telling you, this was a good start, all right, to a sermon. All right. And so, yeah, I just, when we gave this theme, it was like, Lord, what do I preach on? And I had no idea. I almost cheated and went to AI and said, "Hey, AI, what verses could I use here?" But I didn't. And I searched the world. I prayed. It says, "I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And so I want you to think about it here today. That's the grave. That's talking about the grave. And then he goes on and says, then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. And then it says, hey. That's what it says in the song. So that's the garden. He takes us from the grave and takes us into the garden. If you notice in this story that Mary Magdalene, she starts out going to the tomb, and her focus is on the tomb. And that tomb happens to be in a garden. But how many know that Jesus wasn't in the grave? He was in the garden. And that song goes on and says, oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. And I hope this morning that you are one of those individuals that can say amen to that, that there is nothing better than Jesus Christ in our life. Amen. The life we desire may not be the life we imagined. Amen. We came, we had all these dreams, we had all these visions of what we want to accomplish in life. But when Jesus comes into your life, sometimes some things change. How many know a lot of things change? And sometimes the life that you thought you wanted is not the life that you end up living with Jesus. And how many know the life that Jesus provides for us and leads us to is better than anything that we could plan ourselves? Amen. I'm glad all five of you said that. Amen. So, Jesus told us in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Sounds like the grave, doesn't it? And I have come that they may have what? Life, and they may have it more abundantly. All right. Sounds like a garden experience, isn't it? And we're going to see here in the life of Mary Magdalene, that's what's going to take place here. So the devil wants to put you in a grave and keep you there. And we don't want to stay in the grave. We want to be in the garden with Jesus. So graves and gardens don't naturally go together. I don't know. I know that they decorate grave sites and their plots and all that kind of stuff. But to me, in my mind, they're two different things. They're at different ends of the pendulum. And so here today, I just want you to kind of hear what I'm trying to say here today and allow the Spirit of God to kind of speak to you as to where you may be here this morning. So we read in John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene went to Jesus' grave and she looked in. And it says over and over again, she was weeping. She wept. The angels talked to her about her weeping. But you got to realize that she had been weeping. And so seeing the angels was a disappointment. Walking with Jesus. She found these two angels and began a conversation. To him, she looked back over her shoulder. She didn't recognize him at first. She thought it was a gardener because why? It was in a garden. And so Jesus wasn't in the grave. He was in the garden. So I want to talk about three graves here that sometimes we find ourselves in. And how many know that we have an enemy that would like to trap us and throw us in a grave and kind of just bury us? And so I want to talk about three graves here this morning. And I want you to just listen, and maybe you find yourself in one of these graves here this morning. Hopefully not the first one. The first one is the physical grave. And this is the most obvious. How many know that death is waiting for all of us? It's something we don't like to talk about. It's not something we like to focus on. But all of us in here, because you're here, I imagine you're still alive. We have all lost somebody. And how many know it hurts? And how many know it stinks? Would you agree? It stinks. Death stinks. So we have all come, we all have one foot in the grave since the day we were born, because we don't know the hour or the minute that we are going to die. This is a really uplifting sermon, isn't it? But the power of sin has long arms and it reaches out to each one of us. How many know that because sin entered the world, death also entered the world? And the bad news is found in Romans 3:23, and you can quote that here this morning. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the bad news. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this there is a judgment. That doesn't sound like very good news either. But we will all stand before God one day. But the good news comes in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, okay, that's what we've earned. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's the good news that we have here this morning. And so we know we can have eternal life because Jesus conquered the grave. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? So we could change that those words here this morning, and I don't think we would do any harm to it if we could say grave, the grave is swallowed up in victory. O grave, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Folks, we are not bound to the grave. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, you have been set free from the power of death, sin, and the grave. So Mary Magdalene was so grieved in this story, concentrating on the grave, on an empty tomb, that she almost missed talking with Jesus in the garden. Folks, sometimes we just need to look over our shoulder. I don't know about you, my life has been like this at times in my relationship with God, but all I have to do is look over my shoulder and I find Jesus pursuing me. And so we see in this story that Jesus is there right behind her, there as she's looking and grieving and looking in an empty tomb, and he is there for her encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. At this point, we need to realize that she had lost her hope. Jesus is dead. And now the tomb is empty. So not only is he dead, but his body's missing. Somebody stole his body in her mind. So we look at it here today. Folks, we're all going to face death. Whether we experience it for those around us or one day we're going to experience it for ourselves. But the physical grave has been conquered by Jesus. And folks, it's not something to fear. Amen? It's not. Because, folks, this just steps us into the next realm, into eternal life. So the second grave I want to talk about here this morning in this story is the emotional grave. And sometimes as Pentecostals, we downplay the idea. We emphasize faith. We emphasize grace. We emphasize all these things. But let's not underemphasize the importance of our emotions. How many know we don't live by our emotions? We live by faith, right? We don't. And so what we have a tendency to do, some of us may subdue those emotions. Sometimes emotions are things that we kind of put down. We don't want to feel. We don't want to cry. We don't think we should get angry. We just shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do that. And then there are others that are on a binge all the time in their emotions. They are drama queens. They are drama kings, right? So there are extremes when it comes to our emotions. And so at this point, I want you to see that Mary Magdalene is in an emotional grave here. And I'm going to share with you what I'm talking about. So God created us to be emotional beings. How many know it's healthy to demonstrate emotions? To feel is to be alive. We need to feel. We are not to be controlled by our emotions. Can you say amen? Amen. We're not to be. So in verse 17, I just want to look at this first part here. It says, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to my Father. Sounds like something weird, doesn't it? But we need to understand what's taking place here. We need to understand the significance of what's going on. Mary Magdalene is overwhelmed in her emotions that she is basically clinging. She is hanging on for dear life to Jesus at this moment. Her emotions are out of control. And Jesus has to tell her, okay, you're squeezing me to death. Give me some oxygen. Let go. Back up a little bit. She was clinging. It actually means stop clinging to me. She was holding on for dear life. She was not going to let him go a second time. She was in emotional overdrive. She was overcome by her emotions. So we see her. She's having a mixture of overjoy. There's a little bit of hysteria going on here. And there's a desperation that, Jesus, you left once, I'm not going to let you go again. And so there is these emotions that are going on in her heart and her mind at this moment. So a lot of times, as individuals, we emotionally cling to things, and a lot of things are wrong things, things that we shouldn't be clinging to. And so a lot of times what we do in our life is that we cling to maybe sinful behaviors. We cling to some habits in our life, some things that are not becoming a Christian. How many of you know that's true? Sometimes we do those things. But how many know we also cling to some of the wounds of our past? Sometimes we have skeletons in our closet. They can be things that we've done, but they could also be things that maybe we haven't done. And so as we look at this here today, there are things that we emotionally cling to that are unhealthy. We have been going in our, we have a men's group, and I'll tell you what, we've been sharing some very deep things that are going on in our lives. And as we began to examine this, I began to examine our own marriage, and we were talking about our wounded wives. And I think when we came into it, I was probably more wounded than my wife was. And so we bring these things in, we hang on to these things, and we drag them, things of the past, into our relationships today. Unhealthy relationships. How many know that sometimes we pay rent to emotions that shouldn't even be in our life anymore? Relationships that aren't even part of our life anymore, we're still hanging on to them. And so we can emotionally cling to things that kind of bring us down. They put us in a grave. Mary Magdalene still had a grave mentality. She was focused on that grave. She thought she was getting the old Jesus back. Jesus died. He rose. There he is. Ha! He's back. Things are back to normal. But how many know when we meet Jesus, things are never normal? Amen. And so things were about to change. Jesus had something new in store for her. You know, what is better here this morning that we ask? Is it better to be with Jesus or have Jesus in us? And so at that point, she was wanting Jesus with her. But Jesus had a greater plan. She didn't understand it yet, but it was coming. So he finally unpeeled her, got her off of him. And so he commissioned her to go and instruct his disciples. Jesus wants us to look forward and stop looking back. We need to stop clinging to some things in our life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. Old things, those things that belong in the grave, have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so he invites us to go into the garden, to look beyond the grave, to look for him in the garden. So when we encounter Jesus, his intention for us is to set us free from the grave. Hallelujah. New creations have new ways of living. And how many know it's a process? It's a process that he takes us through. Emotional graves need to be broken because he has promised us freedom and liberty in him. So we have two graves. We've talked about the physical grave. Yes, we're all going to face that. And we have all been in emotional graves, where we have been bound by things of our past, things that we have not let go of, and God's saying it's time to let go of those things. And the third grave is the grave of fear. Out of fear of losing Jesus, Mary Magdalene clung to Jesus. Jesus had to peel her off. He had to get her off of her. Fear enshrines people in graves, probably more than anything else. Mary Magdalene was fearful of losing him again. In this story, we see that Jesus was communicating for her to trust him, to let go and let him do what he needed to do for her. She did not want to lose him again. Let me just share something in closing here. I want to share something out of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because I believe this area of fear affects most of us more than probably any other area in our life. Fear binds us up. And so Paul was writing to Timothy, and this is a scripture, again, that you're very familiar with. And he was challenging Timothy because fear leads to other things. And he says here in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind," or self-control. But it goes on in verse 8, it uses the word "therefore." And if I'm correct, English teacher, and it's an adverb, correct? It is an adverb that is used as a conjunction. And so you've heard it before that if you see a therefore in the scripture, you need to ask why it's therefore. All right? And so we see here, he has just got done saying that the Holy Spirit does not give us a spirit of fear, but he empowers us, gives us love, and gets our mind. But he goes on and says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of me as prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." So as we're closing out here, when we look back on our lives, there are probably a number of things that we can identify in our life of fears that have kept us from making choices that would improve our lives. And so we come up against a word called regret. It's not something we find in the Bible, but it's a word that we have experienced as we reflect on our lives. And the older we get, the more we look backwards than we do forward, because we don't have a whole lot ahead of us. But we look backwards, and so there is sometimes these regrets. And if we define the word regret, it means feelings of sadness, disappointment, or dissatisfaction about something that has happened or been done. And so there is that regret that comes up in our life. But regret comes in our life too, from this point of view, from the things that we've neglected to do. How many look back on your life and thought, well, if I would have handled that, if I would have did this, my life would have been different? Or if there was something in our life that instead of avoiding facing it, we actually faced it, how different our life would be today. Regrets can contain an element of shame or being ashamed. We're not to look back and say, what if? What if I would have done that? What if I, you know, did this or whatever? A lot of times we can do that here this morning. Paul warned Timothy not to let fear of people, don't let the fear of the calling that God has placed on your life or their circumstances cause you to be ashamed of God. Fear can lead to shame. How many of us at times when you felt like God wanted us to share our faith or share our testimony or even just pray for someone, we just kind of allowed fear just to kind of lock us down? You know, sometimes there is some shame that is connected to that. And I think it's fair to identify that. You know, it's bold to sit up here in front of the church and to proclaim Jesus Christ. But it's harder to do it when people don't want to hear it. To people that are not saved. Let's not have any regrets in that area. Let's allow the Spirit of God to empower us. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Do we really love people as much as we say we do? That we want to share our faith? He's given us the ability to have self-control. Mary Magdalene and all of his disciples were invited to move beyond Jesus' grave as well as their own. Jesus offers us salvation. He tells us we can be a new creation, that we can experience new life in him. The old things are passed away. All things are new. A lot of times fear stops us from fulfilling God's purposes for our lives. Sometimes we look at our lives and we think of all the things we don't have or we're not. We look at our inadequacies, our deficiencies, our quirks, or whatever. But folks, He wants to use you as you are today. Jesus calls us to stop living in our fears. So Mary Magdalene was challenged that day to look beyond the physical grave. Her focus was on the grave, an empty grave. Folks, today I'm just asking you, if you're in that place today, maybe you just need to look over your shoulder and know that he's there. Isaiah wrote about it. He said, there's always a voice speaking, and he says, if you look behind you, guess what? It'll speak to you and say, this is the way. Walk in it. He's there. There's life after death. We don't have to fear physical death. Yes, we hurt when we lose individuals in our lives. But if they know Jesus, we know they're in a better place. Amen. And as a believer, let's not fear death, but let's just look at it as a stepping stone to the next life. Secondly, there is an emotional grave that she faced. She was clinging on to the old things. All things are new in Jesus. It's time to stop looking backwards and look forward. It's time to let go of some things. Some things we have allowed to continue to be in our life. We've allowed some things in our life to be our partners, to be with us. We carry them around with them. Now and then we drag them out of the closet. Let's not give rent to them anymore. And the third one was the grave of fear. I don't know if she could imagine life without Jesus as it was. But Jesus says, it's okay. I'm going with you. This was a new day. It was a new beginning for Mary Magdalene. And Mary needed to change her perspective. She needed to refocus her eyes off the grave and look to the garden. Today, Jesus is inviting you. He's inviting me. Stop looking at an empty grave. We're not here to celebrate an empty grave. We're here to look at a living Christ. A living Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just come into your house today, and this is a Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we're talking about resurrected life here. We're talking about life made anew. Hallelujah. I don't know where you're at here this morning, but this is an opportunity. This is the day that we look forward to celebrate what Jesus Christ, yes, he died on a cross. Yes, he was buried. But today we celebrate that he is alive. And that life that he lives is the life we live for ourselves. Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And today we just want you to go out of this place. If you do not know Jesus, we want you to know Jesus. And if you're in this house today and you don't know Jesus, or you're not in that place where you need to be with Jesus, we just want to give you that opportunity here this morning to just make things right. Walk out of these doors in right relationship with him. So if you'll pray with me here this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning that we recognize that Jesus paid the price for me. That he went to the cross, and there my sins were nailed to the cross. And today, I can experience the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My sins were nailed and they were killed. They were died. I am no longer alive. But Christ lives in me. He's come to give me not just life, but abundant life. I accept that life here this morning. And Lord, if it's in any of these areas here today, Lord, if there are some emotional baggage that I'm hanging on to this morning, Lord, I ask you to reveal them. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would help me release them to you this morning. and allow you to heal those areas of my life. Lord, I pray that I will not be bound by fear anymore. That, Lord, you have set us free. And we read Paul's words that you have not given us a Holy Spirit that brings fear into our life, but he brings power. He brings love and self-control. Today, Lord, we want to accept that here this morning as your gift to this body here today. And we ask this in Jesus' name.